Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are things going today?
Things are great. I can't complain at all. I'm starting to kind of get my schedule down pat. I'm busier than any year that I can remember since I left the Browns, but I'm starting to kind of figure out, like, okay, Wednesdays at this time, I've got my schedule. I'm going to be doing this, and then I'm going to knock this article out. Then I'm going to watch this game. Then I'm going to go to this radio hit. Starting to kind of get a grip. For the first 2 weeks, I was swimming. How about you? You seem like you're busier than ever, too.
Yeah, I am. It's a good busy, though. Like you, it's you know, football busy is always good busy, I guess. And here we are again. I can't believe we're 2 weeks into the season already. Week three starts very soon. And we have, Matt, our first three-time guest. Not just our first returning guest, but returning for a third time. We've got my buddy over at DLF, Curtis Patrick. Curtis, how are you, man?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I understand the sentiments with being busy, but not sure I can really relate to you. But man, I'm just pumped that we're in the middle of the season. Best time of year.
No doubt.
Absolutely. So Curtis, of course, does work over at DLF with me. Also does some redraft stuff for PFF. I've been checking that out. And he and I actually have a new project. And Curtis, I think you're going to explain a little bit about that. It's called the Dynasty Command Center. So give us some information about that.
Yeah, well, this is actually kind of just a repurposing of an idea from one of my buddies on Twitter, John Proctor DFS. Some of you listening may have won some money due to his excellent preseason DFS takes. And, you know, they built a very comprehensive Slack community where they talk about DFS all day, every day. It's the degeneracy for the degenerates. And, you know, Dynasty, we've been around a lot longer than DFS. And, you know, why don't we have something like that? And so just at a very macro level, that's how this idea started when Ryan and I were discussing it. You know, but ultimately, what this is, it's for people who want to talk Dynasty every day. They don't necessarily want to talk to their league mates because they're trying to work out some sort of strategy or figure out something with a player. It's for people that it's not good enough when they post something on their Twitter timeline and an analyst gives them a yes or no answer, or they post something 50 times and just can't get a response. And it's not always because an analyst doesn't care, but they just may have too many notifications to get to everyone. You see those types of comments all the time. Wish I could get to every question. And, you know, this is the product that I think is going to be what brings Dynasty analysts and the Dynasty community together. And so Ryan and I, we started this just a couple days ago, and the idea is that we're going to be able to really dive in and get into the nitty gritty of team building and dynasty management, not just even with one team, but in your whole dynasty portfolio. What are your goals in a given year, in a given off season? What should you specifically do with this trade? You know, if you ask an analyst, should I accept this trade? And you just give them the player that was offered to you and the player you'd be giving up, you might get an answer, but there's a high probability it's not the right answer. Team context isn't known. Standings aren't known. League scoring is not known. And so people, you know, analysts and experts, we do the best that we can to give good advice. But when we don't have all that information, oftentimes it's guesswork, especially if it's a close deal. Well, Ryan and I are digging in. We want to see screenshots of your teams. We want to know screenshots of all your league mates. We want to know, you know, what was your team story? Are you currently rebuilding? Are you trying to compete this year? What are your goals? And we talk about that. We talk about that in private DMs one-on-one. We talk about it in some different channels that we have for the whole community. If we're talking about general concepts and trade goals or waiver ads, or if it's just general dynasty talk, there's a different channel for all of it. And it's going great, I got to say. We're already seeing different Slack members learning from and teaching each other, giving each other ideas. And it's not even just me and Ryan. You know, the other, I think, unintended benefit of this community is it's going to help Ryan and I specifically be better analysts because, you know, Ryan, I'm sure you'll jump in here with a comment, but most of my leagues anymore, I'm playing mostly with other analysts. And, you know, not only is there groupthink, but it's different when you play with analysts versus when you're playing in a general league. The types of players that are available on waivers or the the aggressiveness of people trading. Everything's different. Every league's a microeconomy. So the Dynasty Command Center is a place where if you want help, if you want somebody to take a look at those things, we can do it. And it's not out there for everyone to see. We're not limiting you to 140 characters, and we're guaranteeing you that you're going to get a response on your question.
Curtis, if I could respond to this, I mean, as I can see it from two angles, because, you know, I've been on Twitter a long time now and I got a fair amount of followers, and I try to answer some fantasy questions here and there. But kind of like you mentioned, I know that if I do that and all my followers see it, that's all I'm going to do all day, every day. You know, like, I mean, I'm just going to get flooded by 8 million people asking me, should I start Carlos Hyde or Davante Adams or what, you know, and I can't do that. And I'm sure Matthew Berry's the same way. Obviously, he's much bigger than I am. But, you know, these analysts, if you open that can of worms, that's all you do all day. And especially with Dynasty, like you're saying, I don't know the status of your league, and I can say which trade I prefer in a vacuum, but I don't know what the scoring is in your league or the status of your team or all those things. And over the last couple of years, really since Ryan and I started this podcast, many, many of my followers have asked, hey, can I pay you X amount to look at my team and analyze it and tell me what to do? And I'm like, I'm always thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, there's a business there. There's a need for that. If I was Joe Blow Dynasty guy, I would love someone to come into my team and scout it for me and say, why do you have this guy hanging around? You know, or dude, you're not nearly as good as you think you are, or vice versa. And I think it's a tremendous service. I think you guys would be really successful with it.
Yeah, I agree with everything Curtis said. And it's been a lot of fun so far. You know, some of these things we do, if it's writing or podcasts or whatever it might be, sometimes those do feel like work. And sometimes you even question, why am I doing this? I've got a day job. I've got a family. This is just one other thing. This has not felt like that so far. It's been fun getting to interact with some of these people. And Curtis, I don't know if you would agree with this. I feel like it's challenging me, like, as a Dynasty player. I feel like in these past 3, 4, or 5 days we've been doing this, I've been more aggressive in making trade offers, just having those conversations and knowing, hey, people are out there wanting to make some trades. It's early in the season. They want to make their team better. So I've found myself being more aggressive as well, just kind of getting in that right mindset.
Oh, absolutely, man. And we've even made it a little bit of a contest. You know, we have our trades channel, and yesterday we were all challenging each other, you know, who's going to be the next guy to ring the trade bell and reward a trade, you know, and we've got another channel that's the trade library, and we there's no talk in there. It's just screenshots of the trades that we've made and helped each other get to. So, you know, I agree. When I see one of these people make a trade, I'm like, man, I'm going to be the next one. You know, but the bottom line is, you know, Matt, I want to kind of go back to one of the things that you said. And, you know, the reason that I really do this is honestly, I love playing Dynasty, and I want to win at Dynasty, and I want to help other people win. And that's where I see my place, you know, kind of in this industry, is helping people with actually managing their team. You know, I love doing analysis. I love writing. But at the end of the day, I got into this because I love playing Dynasty. And just hanging with all these people has been awesome. So, you know, I think one of the next things that I just wanted to drop in here that's going to totally be unique, you know, I think it's cool to talk to me and Ryan. And, you know, I think that we're both pretty good at what we do, but we're bringing in some absolute whales to do what we're doing, you know, in 1 hour spots and talk to the membership. You know, I think it's, and I don't know when this episode's going to drop, but Thursday Night Football this week, we're going to have Rich Rebar on there. You know, how awesome is that? That the Lord Reeves is going to take a look at your team and answer your question. And it's not just going to be, well, you know, him referring to his worksheet. You know, he's going to answer a question about your specific team and your specific situation. You know, we've talked with Evan Silva and Scott Barrett. It's going to be cool. We'll probably ask you to come in there too, Matt.
Sure. I'd love to.
Yeah. I think it'd be awesome and give you a chance to get a little bit of that action that you haven't been able to do on your timeline just because it's so big. But you know, honestly, I really do feel like this is filling a space that's not out there in the Dynasty segment. And the feedback has been just overwhelmingly positive. And the bottom line, you know, I think people are going to know, you know, what's it cost? Well, it's only $9 if you join by the end of September, you know, and then after that, you know, hey, we'll talk, but just try it out for September, 30 days, $9. And I guarantee you're going to get hooked. It's really, really been rewarding. And I think this is going to be my most fun dynasty season I've ever had. This is going to be a big reason why.
I have a feeling you guys will be busier than you think. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, exactly. It has been fun so far and definitely rewarding. And yeah, we're just looking to grow that community and hopefully get some more people in there. So many trades. It's hard for me to keep up, honestly. I find myself just dedicating time, as you would expect, to going in, catching up with some conversations, answering some private messages about trades and waivers, things like that. And I love Twitter. I'm probably the biggest Twitter proponent there is. But we are limited with characters and with just how deep you can dig in that format. So I think this is something a little bit different, something unique, and hopefully something people really like.
So the bottom.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot more true interaction. You know, like someone could be like, "I'm not sure what you mean. Explain yourself." You know, like Twitter, you can get lost easy.
Oh, that's exactly what it's been, Matt. You have the chance for the back and forth. You're not bogging down the rest of your timeline with it. And then, you know, the other thing that I've noticed is the sincerity of questions and the honesty of questions that are being asked are different. I think a lot of times people are afraid to ask a certain type of question on Twitter because, hey, everyone's going to see it. Are they going to think this is dumb?
True.
Like, should I already know this? It's just like, you know, I'm in fourth grade and I don't understand this math problem and I'm afraid to ask the teacher. And then all of a sudden,
I'm not going
to
raise my hand.
I'm not going to raise my hand. And then I might not even learn the concept and I'm going to get a bad grade in the class because I didn't want to answer the question. Well, I mean, this is where that comes in. There's that actual teaching aspect to it. And, you know, I've had a chance to even show some of my teams and what I've done to get them to a certain point. It's just basically, you know, behind the cloth, this is how me and Ryan play Dynasty and teach people those methods. And we're already picking up some things from the subs. So, you know, that the last thing I just really want to point people to is, you know, where do you even find this? You know, my Twitter handle used to be at Dynasty Command, and I've actually reassigned it to this project. So if you used to follow me at Dynasty Command, you may have noticed that I'm at C. Patrick NFL now. Well, if you go back and look up at Dynasty Command, that's where you find this Twitter handle now. And there's a link in there right to the private Slack. You can also find it pinned to my personal Twitter. I don't know if Ryan has it pinned right now, but I know he's been tweeting it. And we've actually got an offer going on right now. Every five, through the end of the month, every five new subs, we do a random drawing and they get a Player Raider podcast tee. That's one of Ryan and I's other joint ventures. So it get a little something else for your money too. 20% chance. So I don't know. I don't think you can beat this.
Well, guys, today, a lot of what we have been talking about over on the Dynasty Command Center Slack chat is what we're going to talk about today on the pod. And that's just how to manage your dynasty teams early in the season. We're 2 weeks in. We've got a little hint of data, of information, and sometimes that can really change how you manage your team. So, Curtis, that's the other reason we've got you on today, to hear some of your insights about this. I guess my first question is, with 2 games played, 2 weeks worth of games played, how do you balance that out? We've got information. We've got these games that we've watched, data that is just overflowing on everyone's timelines. It's really hard to keep up. How do you balance all of that and just, I guess, kind of sludge through and know what to really focus on?
Man, you've got to have a process, because if you don't, it just, your head's going to be swimming and everything becomes noise and you just get scared and you won't do anything. So that, you know, the first thing I do it early in the season, you know, if I know a lot about a player, if he has a strong track record, I'm not too worried 2 games in, you know, especially, you know, let's take a guy like Dez Bryant. You know, Dez is not off to a hot start, but he's got a ton of red zone targets. He just hasn't been converting them. I think he's going to be all right. We know that Dez is a good player. We know he's an important part of that offense. You know, a guy that I don't know.
Real quick, I hate to interrupt, but and I interrupt all the time. But, you know, you mentioned Dez. He's gone up against Janoris Jenkins and the Denver corners. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that.
Right. It's contextual, and I'm willing to give context some importance here because we know a lot about him as a player and he has a strong track record. A player that doesn't have that strong track record. I need more info. Either A, if he's really performing strongly, I need more information, either in the form of more games, or I have to really dig deep to understand why they're succeeding to believe that they're a firm target moving forward. So, you know, just a guy that really boomed last week, like a Buck Allen, you know, got a big point of the carry share, and now West is banged up, and they just promoted Alex Collins from the practice squad. You know, Buck moving forward, do I really think the Ravens are going to run the ball at this rate moving forward? Do I think Buck can continue this type of performance moving forward when he wasn't great in the past? You know, if he's free, yeah, man, I'm gonna wait it out. Am I gonna go pay for him and think he's gonna be a league winner right now on a game and a half of data? No way. You know, and so that's just kind of an example of how I adjust to player takes and player performance early in the season. And then the other thing I do is you have to watch the games for yourself. If you don't, then you better make sure that you follow a very well-rounded complement of a fantasy analyst, because if you're just going to go all in on one guy and that guy's wrong and you don't know what his process is, you're going to go down with him if he's wrong. And so I want to see with my own eyes what's happening in these games. I watch as many of them as I can. And if I can't get to the whole game, I make sure that I don't just look at box scores. I read the story of a game. You can go out there. There are places you can find it. If you're creative, find the play-by-play of an entire game. And that will help you understand what was actually going on in terms of field position and play calling. And, you know, at what time were players producing? Was it just in the 4-minute drill? Was it just in the 2-minute drill? You have to understand the context behind everything this early in the season, because there's just not enough data.
Curtis, who are a couple of players that you have maybe found yourself changing your opinion on, even just with 2 weeks worth of games?
Okay. Well, yeah. So let's play that out. I'll give you one positive and one negative, and then maybe you guys can give me a player each too if you have something. But on the positive side, Ty Montgomery. Okay, so, you know, he was kind of a darling in the offseason, but I don't know a lot of people that were really, truly sure, especially in Dynasty, because everyone, well, maybe not everyone, a lot of people were very excited about Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, and, you know, we saw the metrics about their college performance, and oh, they're going to overtake Ty Montgomery in no time. He's not a real running back. And, you know, man, early in the season, he's dominating the touches. He's looked real. They're using him just like they did last year, except, you know, he's getting even more touches, you know, and he's in the Green Bay Packers offense. I know that a player who touches the ball in Green Bay is going to score fantasy points. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers is there, and Aaron Rodgers means touchdowns. So, Tymo, I'm all in at this point. I have to take a hard look at where I'm ranking him in Dynasty, but he's going to get a significant bump here probably after this weekend. I'll have 3 games, and I'll feel like I have enough to make some significant changes. Either you guys have a take on Tymo.
I think he needs to go up dramatically. I'm a huge, huge believer, and I wasn't a couple months ago because teams tell you things. I mean, if you draft 3 running backs, maybe they don't love Montgomery, you know, but the more you watch him, and I've written this a couple times, I mean, every time I watch him, I like him more. His usage reminds me more and more of David Johnson, and you could see some similarities there. And, you know, they had, you know, a tough matchup this past week without both their offensive tackles, 2 of the best tackles in the league. I think Montgomery's going to be a league winner type guy. I'm a big, big fan.
Yeah, I agree as well. You look back on those draft picks that they made, and some of the narrative there was, Curtis, like you mentioned, that they're worried about Montgomery. Maybe I think I even heard some or saw some speculation that they would move him back to wide receiver. But when you think about it, I mean, that backfield was a disaster last year before they made that switch. You know, they had James Starks and Lacey who couldn't stay healthy. They had Christian Michael. I mean, just Don Jackson. That name popped right into my head. I think that was somebody they started at some point and was actually on a fantasy roster. I mean, they were desperate for running backs, not necessarily desperate for a starting running back. And that's kind of easy to see now. But I get the story that was out there. It makes sense. But I totally agree with both of you guys. Montgomery is certainly trending up, gaining value, and a player that I would love to have.
I have to tell you guys about Loot Crate. Last month's stuff was fantastic. This month's is even going to be even better. Mythical is the theme for October. You save a couple bucks off any new subscription when you plug in Dynasty Blueprint. It's the best deal going. If you're on an epic quest for gear, housewares, collectibles, Loot Crate has it. It's the best surprise you know is coming every month. You run to the mailbox, you love it. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than 20 bucks a month. If you're more of a fanatical fashionata, try Loot Wear, monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises. If you want to get bigger, get a bigger box with even bigger loot from Loot Crate DX. If you want to geek out your pet, which I think is the best thing ever, try Loot Pets, and that offer expires October 19th at 9 p.m., and that's when Mythical will end. So you hear the stories, the whispers and creatures beings that are beyond your imagination. You join us as we peer into the shadows and look into other realms for October's truly mythical collection. You get great items from Marvel, Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and others. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So you guys have to go to lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint and enter our code dynastyblueprint, and you will save a couple bucks off an already cheap subscription.
Guys, Matt actually just finished up that commercial for us, but he has got some scheduling issues. We thought he had his schedule down, but not quite. So he'll definitely be back next week. But Curtis and I are going to finish up. He's got some great thoughts about how to manage your team early in the season. And Curtis, I know you talked about Ty Montgomery as being a player that you're suddenly starting to believe in, to come around on. But you also mentioned there was a player you're a little worried about at this point, 2 weeks into the season. Who is that?
It's Jordan Howard, man. And it pains me because I wanted to root for this guy. I wanted to believe that he could develop some hands, and he just hasn't been able to do it. He essentially cost the Bears the game the other day. It's a bad situation. And to make it worse, you know, Tariq Cohen, the diminutive rookie phenomenon, is taking all of the receiving work at this point. I think Howard only had one target in week two, and there's just no reason to believe that he's going to earn that back. Cohen's been so much more effective in that role. And it's not that I think Howard's all of a sudden a poor runner, but when you know, again, we go back to context early in the season, right? The Bears are terrible. They have no weapons on the outside. They don't really even have any weapons at tight end yet. That entire team is run out of the backfield, and the opposing defense knows it. So it's very easy for them to load up on running downs and shut down Howard. And this is going to just be a season that's all about Cohen and that offense, I think. It's not that I think Howard can't be productive in the future, but I think they're going to need some more weapons in order for that to happen and for teams to respect the run the way that Howard does it. So I'm readjusting my forecast on him. And something I shared in the command center earlier today was that I think the range of realistic outcomes for him is really getting adjusted downward, to where we have to start thinking about Howard as a young Jonathan Stewart, or maybe even a young LeGarrette Blount. I think he's quickly going to become a first and second down pounder, and teams are going to know that the Bears are running when he's on the field. And that's not what guys were paying for him. You know, he was a top 18 startup pick in the last couple months. So if you have Howard and you can move him, I mean, do it now. You know, I think some deals that I've seen today were Howard for Emmanuel Sanders in a second. You know, Ryan, you and I discussed that deal. I would take that immediately for Howard. That's how worried I am about him. When would I buy Howard? I wouldn't buy him probably until midseason, and his value has been adjusted to his really kind of part-time role that I think he's going to end up in. Are you that negative on Howard as well?
I am. I'm concerned as well. And it's defeating, I guess, if Howard was the guy you went out and acquired this offseason, or maybe you had a startup dynasty draft this offseason, you spent a second rounder on Howard. It's frustrating to lose that type of value, to leave that value on the table, but you also have to be realistic. And that's why it's so important to watch the games, like you mentioned earlier. That stat line in week one was still pretty impressive. I think Howard was actually among the top 12 running backs in fantasy that week, even with a couple of poor plays, including that drop on the goal line. But I agree. Sanders in a second is an immediate accept for me. Anything really in that range. I mean, you can start Sanders every week. I'm not sure we're going to ever feel good, or at least the rest of the season, about starting Howard with that offense, losing the targets in the pass catching role. Yeah, he's certainly a player that has lost value quickly. Speaking of trades, let's kind of move into that topic. In general, with your dynasty teams, how aggressive are you at this point early in the year when it comes to making trades? What, I guess, just kind of talk about that. Are you kind of sitting on your rosters, letting it play out for a month? What are you doing with your teams?
You know, I think this kind of goes back to the point I made earlier. It depends on the player. The more I know about them, or the less I know about them, is going to inform how I handle the situation. In general, I'd say I'm very aggressive. You know, if you're not aggressive early in the season, especially if you're not the preseason paper champion, you know, you don't just have one of those rosters that everyone's scared of, you have to be aggressive or you probably don't have a realistic chance of winning. I'm a risk taker in dynasties because I want to win. I'm not here to collect players. I'm here to win. I want the trophy even more in most cases than I want the prize purse at the end of the season. And so, you know, with a player like Howard, I think I just gave the punchline away and trading him for, you know, Manny Sanders and a pick, you know, like 2 weeks ago, people would have laughed if you would take that for him. That's how quickly you have to adjust, or you lose out on these value opportunities. You kind of go down with the ship. And if you're not aggressive, especially on a player like that, it's not just about missing on that player. It's about the overall value of your team is so severely impacted. It can quickly put you in a hole. You just need one or two of those player situations where somebody tanks to really mess up your team for more than just this season, but even into next season.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point there. I was thinking about this the other day. It seems like as soon as the season starts, my reasoning for making dynasty trades starts to shift a little bit. I look at my possible lineup early in the week on Monday or Tuesday, and maybe I see a really bad matchup for my quarterback or for a tight end, or maybe somebody got hurt and I don't feel good about my depth. So sometimes I feel like I'm making trades a week at a time in some cases. Do you ever feel that way, or are you still kind of looking at it big picture?
I think with depth, it's totally fine to do that, especially like the bottom, I don't know, the bottom 33% of your roster. If you want to move off of some of those, I wouldn't move off all of them, but if you want to move off of some of those, you know, rookie dart throws or second year dart throws that you think maybe have a high ceiling, but they don't have the role yet. Well, maybe there's a rebuilding team that has kind of a boring, productive veteran that you can just plug in here or there. A guy like, you know, I don't know, a Jeremy Maclin or something like that, that, you know, he's not going to win the title for you this season, but he's somebody that can come in and give you some flex type production here and there. I'm okay making those types of deals. I mean, again, the goal of playing Dynasty ultimately is to win. Now, I'm not going to go trade an injured David Johnson just to have a more favorable matchup for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, I think, again, it's context. Will I turn over the bottom of my roster? Sure.
Speaking of David Johnson, let's kind of talk about buying those injured players. We've had several already this year that have been lost for, if not the season, at least several weeks, landing on the IR list. Johnson being the biggest name probably, but Allen Robinson, Greg Olsen, Corey Coleman, we could include all of those guys. What are you doing with DJ? Are you going out and trying to buy him at maybe at a discount?
I've tried. I haven't found that discount yet, not in my leagues. I think people are holding out hope that he'll return for the fantasy playoffs, and that's what they're really hanging their hat on. And he's still young enough, and he's just been so incredible in a short time in the league that people aren't really willing to go there. You know, we kind of saw a similar this isn't really that dissimilar from when we thought Zeke might miss, you know, 6 to 10 games before we knew more about a suspension. People just aren't going to give up that high end of a dynasty asset for 80%, you know, 80 cents on the dollar when they know that he might return this season. I think it's a little different for the guys that we know are out for the entire year, and we've got to wait 12 months before we see production.
Yeah, what about Allen Robinson? I know you had some doubts on him even before that injury. So are you targeting him with hopes of maybe making a profit down the road?
Yeah, I think Robinson's a guy that I'm going to have much more of an open mind on now, because I think there's a high probability he's not going to be in Jacksonville. That was my main reason for being low on him entering the season. You know, I kind of foresaw this massive change in their offensive scheme with them drafting Fournette so early and wanting really to kind of put some makeup on Bortles and hide him. So I think Robinson, the time to buy probably still isn't right now. I think it's around week 4 to 5 when teams that are holding him, if they look like maybe they're competitors and they kind of bargain with themselves that, yeah, I'll give away this asset in order to go all in for this year. So I think late September to mid-October is the right time to buy him. And he's just going to be so much cheaper. You know, I think he'll fall out of the top 50 ADP probably.
Yeah, I think so as well. And that's a good thought on the timing. Sometimes those players get hurt and we want to be super aggressive and go out and try to buy them, you know, before they've even had the x-rays done. And sometimes patience helps a little bit with that. What about some of the slow starters who have been disappointing through the first couple of weeks? We talked about Howard already. It sounds like you definitely would not be targeting him in trade. But I asked this question the other day on Twitter: who are the players who have lost the most dynasty value in the first couple of weeks? Some of the popular names that were mentioned were Howard, of course, DeMarco Murray, Lacy, Pryor, Zeke Elliott, Watkins, and Hilton. Of that group, do any of those guys stand out to you as potential buy low opportunities?
Yeah, I think anytime you have a chance to buy the really elite dynasty assets, you got to take a shot. It's just the same thing as David Johnson. You know, so Ezekiel Elliott, if somebody was getting a little bit antsy with him, yeah, I'd love to buy him. You know, again, he's a guy I kicked the tires on during the suspension rumor mill, and I didn't really get anywhere with any of the owners. In some cases, they wouldn't even give a price. They just said, I'm not going to move him. But if you can buy him, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. Of the more realistic buys that aren't really at that level, I'm not giving up on Sammy yet, and it's mostly because I think people are really kind of kicking him to the curb. Everyone wanted a reason to fade Watkins once he left Buffalo for a seemingly lateral move, or maybe even a worse situation, because people didn't believe in Jared Goff, I guess, in general. I'm not going to say no one believed in him, but I mean, Goff was historically bad as a rookie. But Sean McVay looks like he has a great handle and a good vision for what they want to do in that offense. I think that we just have to adjust what the ceiling for Sammy might look like in that offense. You know, we have a lot of data on what McVay did as a play caller in Washington, and how he and Kirk Cousins spread the ball around to all of those different players. So Watkins might not be a guy that has that 150 target upside anymore, but could he be hyper efficient on 115 to 120? Yeah, probably. But you know, he's not going to command that top 12, top 15 dynasty ADP or dynasty pricing anymore. So if there's a Sammy Watkins owner kind of freaking out, and somebody that's willing to sell him for, you know, a first straight up, or, you know, a productive veteran plus a second, and I think those, some of those deals are out there. That's the type of deal I'm looking for right now. Some of the other guys that you mentioned, I wouldn't really be looking to buy DeMarco Murray. You know, it's possible he'll rebound this year, but Derrick Henry has just looked so good, increasingly good every time he gets a shot. There's not really a lot of incentive for the Titans to move back to Murray as a true workhorse at this point. Lacy, I think most people are writing him off as dead. Pryor is an interesting one. I think it would just depend on the price. I wouldn't pay a first for him, but he's still getting a lot of targets if he can just learn how to catch them, get rid of those alligator arms. So, and Hilton, he's another guy that I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait, because we still don't know when Luck's coming back. eventually that owner is just going to get so frustrated. He thought he had a wide receiver one. I think that's another mid-October buy. And then you wait until next year to really count on him for anything.
Yeah, I think to me, Hilton stands out as the player to really target there. But I think you have to do that, like you just said, with the mindset that if Luck doesn't come back, and I think it's fair to, at this point to question if he's even going to play this season, or if he's even going to play, if he's going to get even half of a season in. But if you can acquire Hilton just with the idea to sit on him and just wait that out, that could really return a profit, I think. Let's transition over to the waiver wire. We've already seen some big names available on the waiver wire. Of course, that always depends on your league size and format and just the calendar, how that works with your league. But Tariq Cohen, we already mentioned, was on some waiver wires. Even Chris Carson was on waiver wires early in the season. And this week, maybe it's Rashard Higgins, the Browns receiver that people are chasing. What's your mentality, your strategy when it comes to playing the waiver wire early in the season?
That all depends on league size for me. If you're in one of these leagues where you only roster 20 players, it's going to be pretty hard for me to move off of one of my guys. But you get into some of these 25 and 30 player rosters, or a 14 or a 16 team league where so many more guys are rostered, then you have to be more aggressive, or even like in a contract league, you need to be more aggressive, because there's very few situations where you can actually be able to improve your team on the waiver wire. And I think my main advice for people with waivers is you got to be a week early. And that's where it comes back to knowing the story of what happened in a game. If you can watch or read the play-by-play and know what happened, you can be early. You don't have to wait until Chris Carson hangs, 90 plus yards to go claim him. You could have claimed him in the preseason when he was easily the most impressive back in that backfield. And then you're not even in this competition with everyone else. Higgins, I don't think anyone would have had a reason to be early on him. He just got called up off of the practice squad before that game. But, if you're a guy who needs a wide receiver three or a wide receiver four on your team, you have to go get him. Like you said earlier, Corey Coleman's out. For all we know, Higgins is going to lead the Browns in targets until Coleman returns, if he even does return. So that's a great opportunity to make your team better. And, if you end the season with any money in your waiver wallet, you did it wrong. I would rather miss on a guy at the end of the season than, have 80% of my waiver money left and think, man, there's like four chances I would have had to really improve my team. And sometimes that can be the difference between finishing third and finishing first. Or, like last year, Tyreek Hill, Dak Prescott, those were waiver wire guys. We don't know which one of these players that you just mentioned might become like a legit dynasty asset for the long run. So you got to take these chances or you don't have a chance to profit.
Yeah, and there's probably some of those guys still sitting on waiver wires. We might not see them break out until week three, four, five, or even later, like we saw with Hill last year. So yeah, always be minding that waiver wire, stay on top of the news. And you said maybe there wasn't a reason to be early with Higgins, knowing that news that he was called up to the active roster. I mean, that's something you have to at least be aware of. He's a name for dynasty players that you should have known from last year, as the Browns spent a midday or a mid round pick on him. And then what else do we know about the Browns this year? Britt has basically been invisible. Corey Coleman has been seeing a ton of the action through, at least in that first week, but he's also unfortunately a player who looks like he can't really stay healthy. So there's a story to tell, of course, in hindsight, why Higgins should have at least been on the radar a week ago. What about making lineup decisions, Curtis? This is something that has really evolved over the years. I guess I feel like 5 or 6 years ago, I go to that MFL page, I look at the matchup, and I don't even know what those numbers mean. I guess there's numbers there, not only that the player's average points for the season, but also the defense they're playing and where that ranks. Not really sure where that comes from. But essentially, I was a start your studs guy. The big names were in my lineups, And I just waited for Sunday to see how it played out. As DFS has become so popular over the past couple of years, there's so much analysis and so many guys out there giving out some great data with daily fantasy in mind. But I think we can apply that information as well. And I found myself over the first couple of weeks sitting some of the big names who normally might have been in my lineup. Do you find yourself using that as well?
Man, I love this point. And I'm totally in the same place as you. I used to, you know, early on in my dynasty days or even just redraft days, look at that little projection, you know, on my Yahoo team or my ESPN team or MFL team. And, you know, those are all coming from different sources. It didn't matter. Hey, whoever had the highest point total there, that's who was going in. And sometimes it'd be like 0.3 of a point difference. But, you know, I'd just type A. I couldn't start the player who was projected for less points. I mean, DFS has totally changed the way that I set lineups. It definitely made me a better dynasty player. I'm not afraid to sit my wide receiver 3 for my wide receiver 6 if I know this particular team is awful against slot receivers. I'm not afraid to start my tight end 2 in the slot if I know that the opposing team has given up touchdowns to opposing tight ends at a higher rate than the rest of the teams in the league. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can apply it. And if you don't play DFS, you know, you don't have to put a lot of money into it. But if you want to get better at weekly roster management, go play some of the free stuff. I mean, there's tons of free tournaments that you can get in on any of the major platforms, or, you know, play the quarter arcade. Just it makes you get better. It makes you think about that type of thing. Another thing that I've applied is stacking. You know, if I'm a severe underdog and I've got, you know, 2 Packers wide receivers, and, you know, maybe I've got Geronimo Allison sitting on my bench, and I'm an underdog by 20 points this week. I'm going up against the probable league champion. Well, maybe I start Allison and Jordy with Aaron Rodgers, and I play this game script that the Packers are just going to go bananas this week, and that increases my variance. And that's how you can win if you're a heavy underdog. Now, you don't get cute like that if you're a strong favorite, or if you have an amazing team and you're just really stacked and it's clear, you know, like your wide receiver 3 is still a top 20 dynasty player, you're probably not going to do this to that level. But if you're starting enough players in your league, if you're starting 2 and 3 flex players, or you have a lot of flexibility between which types of positions you can play, yeah, DFS has tons of applicability in weekly management.
Yeah, it really, really has changed the way that I play. And at least so far this year, it's been pretty successful. I'm off to a good start in my leagues. What about analyzing your roster? This is probably the most important piece of what we're going to talk about today. I've got a few teams that I thought honestly were maybe going to be a long year for these teams. I thought probably not going to make the playoffs. And in one league, I'm off to a 2-0 start. And then I've got another team that's the complete opposite. I was sure I was going to be a contender, and I haven't won a game yet. So is 2 weeks in too early to start analyzing some of those things? Is it too early to pull the plug and start trading some of those players that you thought you'd be counting on?
It's definitely not too early to analyze. I mean, you should analyze every week. You should analyze multiple times per week, you know, before you're making waiver claims. And then before you set your lineups for the weekend, you need to take a look. Take a look at the transactions that the other teams in the league have made. Those can give you clues as to what they think about their teams. If you see, you know, another team that's in your situation loading up at a position through trades, that can give you contextual clues to what your league mates are doing. But, you know, you have to understand why. It goes back to understanding why. If that team's 2-0 and you have a bunch of players that are a year early, let's just say you're 2-0 and your team sucks, but you have Kareem Hunt. Okay, that's probably the case for a ton of dynasty owners listening to this pod, because if you drafted Hunt, you know, you in many cases you may have got him at the top of the second round. You might have had an early draft pick. You know, he wasn't really rising there until the end of the summer, and his production's been so out of this world that, you know, he can single-handedly win you a week right now, but you don't have the horses to really win your league. So you have to look at that. Is that sustainable? No. If you're 0-2, but you lost to the two teams that are in first and second right now, and the margin of victory was like less than 10 points each week. And you just got to take a breath, man, find that brown paper bag and breathe in and just slow it down. Your team is not bad. You just had an unlucky draw. And so I think it's hard because we just become information consumers, but you have to think strategically during the season if you're going to win your league by anything other than random chance. And I'm glad that you brought up this roster analysis, because this is another thing. This is really probably the biggest thing that we're going to help people with in Dynasty Command Center, because these are the things that really stress people out. And man, if you can get the opinion of a bunch of other, you know, smart players, or get the opinion of some analysts before you make a stressful decision, man, it really makes you feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think I need to definitely take your advice, though. A couple of these teams, this one team specifically, and it's my home league, which probably, you know, that probably makes it worse. You really want to win those games against those guys you see pretty often out in the real world. But I'm 0-2. I'm going to go find that paper bag. I'm just going to take a breath, give it another week, see what happens. But at the same time, stay active on the waiver wire, see if there's any trade opportunities out there. But I'm not giving up all my key assets quite yet. Well, Curtis, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for all your insight about early season roster management, whether it's trades, waivers, or even just those weekly lineup decisions. And thanks for the information as well about Dynasty Command Center. I know that's something we're both excited about. And before we wrap up today, just tell our listeners where they can find all of your work.
Okay, so you can find... get a pen out. you can find my dynasty work at dynastyleaguefootball.com. You can find my DFS analysis at Pro Football Focus. You can find Dynasty Command Center by the Twitter handle at Dynasty Command. Or you can just reach out directly to Ryan or I on Twitter and get more information about that one. And I see somebody, Scott, who's one of our members, he just landed two trades that I got to go talk to him about. That we were talking about this morning. So good for you, Scott. And then you can follow me on Twitter at CPatrickNFL.
All right. Thanks again for joining us, Curtis. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.